Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Ches. We begin 4 lines from the top, where we quote the Mishnah Chesavod Aleph Shesham Mashkin Es Asotos V'chulei. So the Mishnah said that at Shar Niknor, which was the eastern gate of the Azara, that's where the Sota would stand, and that's where they would go and give her the May Sota to drink. The Gemara asks Bishlam Asotos. I understand why the Sota has to drink the water over there, because the pasuk said the Mid Hakohen Es O Isha Lifnei Hashem. The woman had to stand Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means opposite the Heichel, the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the Kodesh, and Shar Niknor is directly opposite that, eastward. So therefore, we understand, it says, that's where you should stand in Lifnei Hashem. And Mitzorah in Nami, the Mitzorah also has to stand over there. The Pasuk says, V'amid HaKohen HaMitaher V'gomer, and the rest of that Pasuk tells us, V'amid HaKohen HaMitaher Eso Ish HaMitaher V'yosom Lifnei Hashem Pesach Omoed. Oh, so it has to be again right there at Shar Niknor. They're not allowed to enter into the Azara, so they have to stand at the closest point where they go into the Azara without actually going into the Azara. So, very good, we understand. Ella Yoledes, in the Mishnah, we'd said that Yoledes also has to stand over there. My timer, what's the rationale that the Yoledes has to stand over there? If you're going to tell me, Ilei mo mishum da asyon v'kainin akurbinayhu, if you're telling me because they're bringing their korban, woman who has given birth has certain korbanos that she has to bring. She has to bring a bird offering, an ola bird offering, a chatas. So in that situation, so she has to be there when her korbanos are brought. The Tanya and korbanos shalodim korev Elohim kein omid al gaba. The person's korban should be brought only when the person is there watching over it. That's why we have the ma'amados for Klai Yisrael, for all the korbanos tzibur. So certain members of Klai Yisrael were assigned to roll to represent Klai Yisrael. That's the ma'amados, and they would be there while the korbanos tzibur were brought. So too, the same thing has to be with the korban yochid. If that's so then Zovin Vizavos Nami. So why does it only mention a Yolandis? It should also mention Zovin and Zavos, men and women who have the status of being a Zov or a Zova. They had a Ziva discharge, and they should also have to be there. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? So it says, you're right, Enochanami. You're right, 100%. The Tana Chada Minayu Nokat. The Tana didn't want to list everything, he just listed one, and therefore we would know all the others as well. Now there's only a problem with this, in that we have elsewhere the din is that the woman who's the Yoledes doesn't, in fact, have to stand there. She can put her money into the appropriate kufsa to pay for the bird offerings that she has to bring, and she can go and know that the Kohanim would take care of it. So here it seems to say that she has to stand there, whereas elsewhere it seems to say she doesn't have to stand there. So the Tosafot Yontif answers, he says, Min ha-din midoraisa. They didn't have to stand there. However, the Nevi'im Rishonim, they were misaking that the women who are bringing their korbanos yachid should also stand there when their korban is brought, even though min ha'din, min daraisa, they don't have to. So that's how you reconcile the seeming stira between this and elsewhere where it teaches us that they don't have to stand there. Okay, Mark continues to say, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, ein mashkin shtei sotos ki achas. We don't give 2 sotos to drink at the same time. The way that Rashi understands this is that we don't have 2 sotas over there standing there, and one Kohen is going to give one to drink and then the other one to drink. Tosos has a little bit of a different explanation. Dibur Masel Ein Mashkin, he says, Niru Lefarish, Sheyamid Shteyem Ba'azor Bevas Achas Lash Gosan, even though it may not be one Kohen doing it, even though 2 Kohanim are doing it, we have both of them standing over there. It's not proper to have 2 people standing over there, 2 women. And therefore, he has a Afgamina. He says, would this apply even if one of them wasn't a Sota? Is there just an issue having another woman stand there while she's drinking the May Sota? In any event, the din is that we don't give to drink 2 Sotos at the same time. But here in the Braisa, they give a reason for it. Kadesh lo yehi libam liba gas b'chaverta. If one sees the other one standing there, so she sees the other one willing to drink, so she's going to be willing to drink, even though she may know that she's guilty and she would otherwise have admitted and not made them erase the shame of Hashem, and she wouldn't drink. But since she sees the other one there who's stone-faced and saying, I'm going to drink, so it's going to lead her to drink as well. So therefore, that's why we don't have 2 sotas standing there. That's the Tanakhama's reasoning. Yehuda Omer, no. That's not the reason. It's a pasuk. El Amakra, the pasuk says, Osa, which means Livada, her by herself. Now Rashi says this pasuk is Vihishbia Osa HaKohen. The Kohen makes her swear Osa, only by herself. That's a simple understanding of this drasha. However, if you look in the Gilyan Hashas as well as the Masaris Hashas, they bring down that there are others that say that this is a different pasuk. They say Vihishka is the pasuk, and the Hishka has a mapike in it, and that means Vihishka Osa. So therefore, whatever this drasha is, it means only her and not another sota there at the same time. No, Tanakama, what does he do with this pasuk? It's a very good pasuk. The Tanakama Hoksiv Osa, why does he give the reasoning that Kadesh lo yelibo gas b'chaverta. Rav Yehuda Tak is right. So Gemara says the Tanakama. Who is that? Tanakama Rabbi Shimoni. This is a famous Shimon, Rabbi Shimon shita. The Dorish Tama Dekra. He always darshins the reason why the pasuk says so. And if you know the reason why, and it doesn't apply, so then he says it wouldn't have a application. That you're allowed to go and look into the reasoning behind it. And if the reasoning doesn't apply, then you don't apply that din. So he's Dorish Tama Dekra. And therefore, Umatam Karma. What's the rationale for this? Matam Oso Levada, what's the reason why it says you should only be mashka one sota at a time? Kadesh, lo yehei, libo gasbe chaverta. Because if she sees another woman standing there adamant that she's going to drink, it may make her adamant to drink when she really should not. And therefore, if that reason doesn't apply, so then the din doesn't apply. That's why he doesn't use the pasuk, osa. He says it's the reasoning behind the pasuk. No, my binayu, is there an afkamina between these two reasoning? Bottom line is, you can't be mashka two sotas together. Someone says there's a big difference between them. Ika binayu, the nafkamina would be rosesis. If one of the women was trembling, she was absolutely afraid. So there is no concern of liba gas b'chaverta. She's going to be seeing her friend in an adamant state. I'm going to drink. And she's going to say, okay, then I'm going to drink too. We see this woman is trembling. She's not being in any way heartened by the fact that her friend is adamant. She's trembling, so there is no concern of liba gaspa. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakam, would say, in that situation, you could be mashke two sotas as once, whereas the Chacham say, no, it's a pasuk, absolutely usher, regardless of whether the reason is applicable or not. So the Gemara question says, Rosesis, mi mashkin? Do we really ever go and give a woman who is Rosesis, a woman who's trembling, in that situation, we allow another woman to stand there, like the Tanakhama says, like Rabbi Shimon holds, that in this situation, because we're not concerned with libo gospel of chaverta, that we would allow two sotas to be given to drink at once? But there's another reason why we don't do that. V'ha ain osim mitzos chavilos chavilos. There's another reason that we don't do this. And that is because we don't bundle up mitzos. Like, let's get it over with. As Rashi says, when you make a mitzvah, chavilos chavilos, so what you're demonstrating is, shenira kimi shahayu olav l'masui. It looks like it's a burden to you. Oh, let's get this done with. Let's do take care of both of them at once. And you want to quickly get rid of your burden. So that's why we don't do two sotas together. So even if the reason doesn't apply, how does the Tanakama, how does Rabbi Shimon allow you to go and make two sotas drink together? Because, now the Gersa that we have is Ditnan, that it sounds like it's a Mishnah, but Mesor Shasai says it should be Ditani because it's really a Braisa. The Braisa states, Ein mashkin shtei sotas bi'achas, ki achas, we don't allow two sotas to drink at the same time. Likewise, if ain't the tarin stay mitzorah in kiachas, we likewise don't have two mitzorahs becoming tar at the same time. Then rotsin shnei avodim kiachas. If two avodim say, I want to stay longer than 6 years, I want to stay till the yovel, and we have to pierce their ears with an awl, so we don't do two of them at the same time as well. Likewise, vein orfin shtei agolos kiachas. We have the din of egla arufa. They find a dead body in between two cities. They measure out which is the closer city, and they have to do the whole egla arufa process. So we don't do two of them at the same time. Why not? In all of these situations, it's because the Braisa says, Lefisha ain't osin mitzos chavilos chavilos, because it looks like it's a burden to us. Let's get it done with. Let's do both of them at the same time. Let's get done with it so we go out and do something else. So how can you tell me, Tanakama Rabbi Shimon, that if the woman is rosesis, that we could be mashke two sotas as once? After all, is a din of ain't osin chavilos chavilos. Now Tosas, yes, doesn't give an answer. Tosas says, this is a din de Rabbanon. So how can you base it upon psukim and say, oh, the psukim over here shouldn't be darshed in time of the krah based upon this din derabanan of enosim chavilos chavilos? One can't ask a question on psukim from a din derabanan. So that's Tosas leaving it as a question. However, the mitzvah Eson answers and he says, no, mitzvah chavilos chavilos is actually min ha-Torah. And he brings a raya, the Gemara in Tainis, where it says, Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. For example, you don't get married on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, he sees it, says that this is a din d'araisa, it's based upon psukim, and therefore, he pushes aside Tosas' question, saying that chavilas chavilas is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. In any event, we have our question, how could the Tanakhama Rabbi Shimon say that if the woman is rosesis, we would allow her to have two sotas be mashed at the same time? So Amar Abaye, Vitem Rav Kana, either Abaye or Rav Kana answered, Lokashi said, it's not a problem, it depends. Kan b'koin echad, in the braisa, where we say that it's not a problem of osimitz chavilos chavilos if she's rosesses, so then you're dealing with two kohanim, so there's not a problem of osim chavilos chavilos. But over here, where we say that you're not allowed to give two sotas to drink at the same time, or ain osim mitzvah chavilos chavilos, ain mashkim shnei sotas biachas, that's when you're dealing with kan b'kohen echad. Here in this braisa that we just brought down, it's dealing with one kohen, and as we already pointed out, with one kohen, that would be osim mitzvah chavilos chavilos. But in the Brisa, we brought down Rabbi Shimon's opinion. We said in Rosasis, in that situation, you could be mashke shtei sotos. There, it's dealing kan b'shtei kohanim. So therefore, it's not osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos. This idea of osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in a very interesting way. We're coming up on Yom Tov, where we're going to take out more than one Sefer Torah at once. We just had the Dalet Parashos, where we took out a second Sefer Torah. So the question is, how are you allowed to have them take out the Sefer Torah at the same time? Why don't we say, Ein osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos? Oh, wait till you finish the laning of the first one, then go get the second Sefer Torah. Otherwise, it looks like, oh, let's get it over with. Let's take out both Sefer Torah at once and get it over with. So some suggested you have two people holding it, so therefore it's not a problem. Others bring down that this would be a tircha de tziburi if we made you go back later on and take out the second Sefer Torah, and therefore tircha de tzibura trumps this idea of ein osim mitzos chavilos chavilos. This does have an afkamina, though, that when you bring the second Sefer Torah up onto the shulchan, onto the teva, to go and read it, you're not allowed to go open up the second Sefer Torah until the first Sefer Torah is totally niglal and it's totally covered up. Because otherwise it looks like, let's get this over with as fast as possible. So this is halacha lemaisa application from our Gemara, that when you have two Sefer Torah, so you can't start opening up the maftir Sefer Torah until the first Sefer Torah that you read the parsha with is niglal entirely. It's totally wrapped up and covered up. Okay, now we go to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah, Va'kohen oches bevigadeh. We quote the Mishnah which says that the Kohen grabbed onto her clothing, and if the clothing were torn, kriya or frima, or they're ripped even more, so then that's the way it is. Tanur Rabban, the Braisa says, Upara esro sheisha, quotes the Pasuk where it says that you have to go and undo the hair of the woman. Now, Ein li ela rosha, this tells me that you have to do it under her hair. Gufa minayin. How do we know that we also rip her shirt? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, it says the extra word, ha'isha. It could have just said, ufara esrosha. So for the fact that it says, ufara esrosha isha, that comes to tell me that we also rip her clothing as well. So, ein li ela rosha, gufa minayin, Talmud Lomar, ha'isha. Fine. So therefore, the Gemara says, im kain, so then ma Talmud Lomar, ufara esrosha. So why does it have to say that you remove her hair? Just say, ufara esrosha, and we would know that you do her clothing as well as her hair. If you take off her clothing, so to say, you undo the top of her clothing somewhat, so then certainly you take off her hair, you undo her sheitel. So the Gemara says, Im ke matam meloma ufaras rosha, so that's the teacher's adin, melami shah kohen, so sura, the badavka, the kohen has to go and do this. It just doesn't, you don't tell her, take off her tichel, take off her sheitel herself, she has to undo it. The Kohen has to undo it, not her. And Tosus brings down, in one opinion in Tosus, that either it was the Chazon HaKnesses who did this, or they actually held a lottery, Mitilim Gorolos, the Homi Shiala Gorolo, Afil Kohen Gadol, and whoever the lottery fell on, even if it was the Kohen Gadol, would be the one that would go and do this for Oches Bivigodeh. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah again, Rud Omer, if she had a pretty body, so then we wouldn't uncover her. If her hair was pretty, we wouldn't undo her hair. What's the reasoning? Because obviously, if she's going to be in a compromised position, it's going to lead to the Pirkei Kehuna that are there having her hurim. They're going to have inappropriate thoughts, and that's a terrible thing. And Rav Yehuda was choshish for that. Therefore, he says, if she's pretty, we don't do this step. The Rabbanan, obviously, lo chayshe. They weren't concerned about this. They said, the Torah tells us to do this, we do this no matter what. Now, how could you not do this according to Rabbi Yehuda? So, Tosus brings down, it's because of the concept of shei v'al tase. In this situation, while there is a positive mitzvah to do this, but the consequences are too risky, and therefore they said better not to do the shei v'al tase. It's similar to the fact that we don't blow shofar today on Rosh Hashanah if it comes out on Shabbos, because of shei v'al tase. It's better, because people may come to go and carry it, Dalet Amos versus Rabban, be over in Isser, so it's better not to blow it at all, then take the chance of people doing this. So too over here, better not to disrobe her, to undo her hair, because of the concern, chayish lirhura. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now the Gemara says, but we have the exact opposite opinion, where Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh lirhurim, and the Chachamim are choshesh lirhurim elsewhere. Where is that, the Tanya? We learn the following brisa. This is in regards to a person who is Rachmon Litzlan chayiv misa, so we are going to kill that person, let's say with skila, and we do it while they're not clothed in order that they should die faster. This is the concept of bror lo misa yofe. We want them to die as quickly as possible. The misa is based in is a very humane type of misa, and therefore if they're clothed, it's going to protect them somewhat and it will take them longer to die. So therefore, we give the skila without them being clothed. Now, that's a problem because now they're going to be naked. So therefore, the Braisa says, ha'ish, for a man, mechasen oso perik echo milafonav. We just cover up his gib, we just cover up the genital area. The rest of him is naked. However, ha'isha, for a woman, shnei perokim. We cover up both from the front and the back. Echo milafonav, the echo milachra, because it's more embarrassing for the woman, neshakula erva, because you can see her erva both from the front and from the back, and therefore we cover up more than the man. However, the bottom line is, she's still relatively naked. And therefore, the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda, Mibnei Shukula Erva, says, Divri Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not concerned about the rest of her being naked. So he's not concerned about Hirhurim. Whereas the Chachamim in this Braisa are, Chachamim, Ha'ish, Niskal Arum. Yeah, the man we're not concerned about, he can be Niskal when he's not wearing any clothing. However, the Ein Ha'ish, Niskal is a woman. But we clothed the woman. So, granted, it's going to take a little bit longer for her to die, but this Hirhurim concern is a major concern. So, we have in the Braisa that we just brought down, the opinion of Yehuda is not concerned about her being naked. He's not concerned about Hirhurim. The Chachamim are. But by Sota, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's concerned about Hirhurim, and the Chachamim are not. So there seems to be a stira. So I'm a Rabbah. Rabbah answers, Hocha, time am I. In this Braisa with the Sota, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that we don't allow her to be totally naked if she's beautiful? We don't uncover her hair. We don't uncover her upper chest. Shemotate semi based in Zakois. You know why? Because there's a chance that she's going to survive. She really wasn't guilty. She's going to drink the Mesota. She's not going to die. And she's going to go back to the neighborhood. And the Kohanim Musor in this lewd state are going to have Hirhurim about her and want to go and Rachmon al-Islam commit an Averiva. Because Shemotate semi based in Zakois, the Yizgaru ba Pirche Kuhuna. And the Pirche Kuhuna are going to try to seduce her. They're going to try to have an affair with her. So it's going to be a terrible, terrible thing. However, Hossam, in the case of Misa, Ha Mistalka, and some have the gear, so Ha Miskatla, she's going to die. So therefore, there is no concern about the future, and therefore, that's why there's no stira in Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of the Sota, there's a chance that she'll live, and that could be a problem going forward. When people have seen her in a somewhat non-snea state, they're going to have a taiva for her. Whereas, if they're going to kill her in the Braisa, that says, for Misa, we're not concerned. That's because she's going to die, and there's no concern for the future. Aydi, where it says, V'chitema, Osi liyizgaruye bachrin asa. But once you see this woman, so then maybe they'll have hirhurim and they'll lead them to have a desire for another woman. So that's not the case. Homer Rava, Rava says, Gemire, we have a tradition, we have a mesorah. The ein yetzahara sholeit ela b'masha ein of rose. That the yetzahara, when it sees something, so it wants that. But Lav Davka is going to want something similar to that. So therefore, when you see the woman who is the Sota, so you're going to have concerns and desires for that woman, possibly. When you see another woman, however, so that woman's going to die. She's brought out for Misa, so then that won't lead to concerns with another woman. But Tosa says that's not true. In the bottom Tosa says, in the Gemara in Chagig, it says, Arias, Bein Befonov, Bein Shalom Befonov, Nofish Yitzrayu. This is Arias we're talking about. People are constantly going to have concerns about this. How can you tell me that if she sees the woman who is being brought out to death and they give her skila, that that's going to lead to Hirhurim? So that seems to go against the Gemara in Chagiga. So Gemara said, Tosa Sen says, Lokash, it's not a problem. Hosom, Hachi Perusha, over there, Me Achar Shiro, Erva Pam Achas, Shuv Mahar Achareha Liolam. By the case of Sota, once you see her, you're going to constantly be thinking of her. Whereas in the case of the woman who's brought out for Skila, so you may be thinking about her, but it's not going to lead you to think about other women. And that woman, Nebuch, is killed, so therefore it's not going to lead to a problem. So that's how you reconcile Rabbi Yehuda in Sota saying that we are concerned, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the woman being brought out Lamisa for Skila, we're not concerned. Okay. Gemara says, that's great, but what about Chachamim HaChachamim? All the Rava says, the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, that was a problem, the two conflicting statements of Rabbi Yehuda, so we answer that. What about the Rabbanim? The Rabbanim, well, Kasha, that wasn't a Kasha. The Rabbanim, myself, to say we're not concerned, and the Rabbanim, by the case of Skila, say we are concerned. So Rav explains further, he says, Elam Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kasha, Kiddushina. You're right. The first reconciliation, that we had a problem, Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict. Rabbi Yehuda by Sota says, we're concerned. Rabbi Yehuda by Misa says, we're not concerned. So that we already resolved, because the woman in Sota is going to live, potentially, and then there'll be continuous problems, whereas the woman who's brought out for Skila is going to die, and there won't be any continuous problems. But what about the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan? So we turn to Chesem with Beis. The Rabbanan, not the Rabbanan, Nami lo kasha. Rav explains that's also not a stira. Why? Because hacha time am I. In the case of Soto, why did Chacham say we're not concerned? Because the pasuk tells us not to be concerned. Mishum v'nivasru kol hanoshim. We want all the other women to see. Look what's going to happen to you. Even if you're innocent, you're going to be humiliated. And therefore, that warning to other women is worth it to take the chance of the Pirkei Kuhn of somehow getting excited. But awesome, in the case of the woman being brought out to death, ein lecha yisur gadol. Yeah, you don't need to add any preventative measures to tell people not to do sins that will lead to capital punishment of skila or any other type of capital punishment. The woman died. There is no better deterrent than the death. You don't have to say, oh, if I hadn't been clothed, so then I'm not going to do this. But if I'm clothed, then I'm going to do the aveira. No, so there's no better deterrent than death. So therefore, the Chachamim are not concerned about that woman being unclothed. You don't need a better deterrent than death. I'm going to tell me, v'chitema, lavid botar. No, no, let her be also unclothed. And certainly that would be a better deterrent. So I'm a Rav Nachman, I'm a Rabbi Baravua. No, that goes against another principle we have. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabbi Baravua. I'm a quarter post. It says, you have to l'recha kamocha. You should love your fellow man as you love yourself. And therefore, b'ror lo mitzvah yofa. As I said earlier, we want to make sure that the person who's requiring to get capital punishment, Rahman al-Litzlan, but we want to kill them as quickly and as rapidly as possible, in the nicest way possible. And therefore, stoning this woman while she's wearing clothing is a nicer way than stoning her while she's not wearing clothing. And therefore, we don't have to doubly humiliate her in this situation. We don't need a double deterrent. It's bad enough that she'll be killed. And we don't have to also go and humiliate her by doing this while she's naked. So this principle, the Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Ravua, brings down, is the reason why the Chachamim are saying by death that we keep the woman clothed. So Gemara says, maybe Rav Yehuda disagrees with that. Lema, the Rav Nachman Tanoihi. So Rav Yehuda, who says, no, we keep her naked, so he disagrees with this principle of Rav Nachman, who said in the name of Rabba Bar Avuha. So Gemara says, no. In fact, lo de kuliyama islu de Rav Nachman. In fact, both Rav Yehuda and the Chacham both agree to this principle of Nachman of Bror lo Misa Yofa. No, so how come they're arguing over here in the case of Misa? They're arguing over here by the case of Misa and follows. Mar sova de Chacham hold bizyone Audifle tve mitzara de gufe. The Chachamim say in this situation that the man would rather have a little bit more humiliation, but less tsar. If he's wearing clothing, it's going to be more painful. So he said, listen, I don't mind being humiliated a little bit more, but kill me in the most humane and fastest way possible. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. And therefore, we keep the man unclothed. Omar savar tsara de gufe audifle tve mimivzione. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that the humiliation is more important than a little bit of extra pain. So better to have me clothed and not suffer the additional humiliation of being unclothed, albeit it's going to be a little bit longer to kill me. So both of them, it's Bora Lo Misa Yofa. They both hold in this principle of Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, but how you apply it, so that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Then we quote the Mishnah that says, Hayim Mechusa Levonim Mechulei, if she was wearing white clothing, that made her look good, so we put her on black clothing. But what happens if the black clothing makes her look good? So Tana, Im Hayu Shorim Noimla, if she looks good in black, so then, Mechasin Oso Begodim Mechawarim, then you put on clothing that will not flatter her, that will not make her look good. Again, we want to be menavil her, we want to humiliate her, and this will be done by putting on clothing that won't make her look good. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, if she's wearing jewelry, hoyolea, clay, zov, v'chulei, if she's wearing various types of jewelry, chokers, earrings, nose rings, finger rings, etc., so then we take them off, which is obviously pshita. Hashta, nevule, menavula. We go and undo her shirt, we undo her hair, and we are menavula, we don't let her wear nice clothing, so obviously we don't let her wear jewelry, so hani, mi boy, you have to tell me, we don't let her wear jewelry? Someone says, no, it's interesting. I might have thought, ma'u detema, Bahani islo bizoyin tve, that it's actually more embarrassing for a woman to be dressed in very, very lousy clothing and to wear a diamond brooch. That actually is a bigger humiliation. Kidam Rinches, people say, Shaliach artil, the shaliach takes off the clothing, v'soy masani, but the person's still wearing shoes, they look even more foolish. So therefore, you might have thought that you menavel her, and it's even a bigger nevel to have her then wear fancy jewelry. So kamash v'lo, no, we don't think like that. We said, no, the jewelry is going to still make her look nicer, and therefore, we're menavel her by taking off the jewelry as well. Then we quote the Mishnah, which said, V'yachek achmei v'chevel v'chulei, then you have to bring the chevel ha-mitzri, which we explained either was a rope that came from Mitzrayim, or that it was these certain types of palm fronds that were not very nice. In other words, this is not a very nice rope that we bind her shirt up above her breast if the shirt became ripped and loosened. Okay. Boy, mine Rabbi Abba me Rafuna. Rabbi Abba asked the following shout from Rafuna, is this a din that's ma'akev or not? Chevel ha-mitzri, this chevel ha-mitzri that we have to bring, Maushi Aki Bisota, do we say that it's Makib? If you don't do it, the Sota process can't go on, or no? The idea is to keep her clothing up. And you can use anything else if you don't have the Chevel HaMitzri. Mishum Shelo Yishamtu Bigodea Mi'aleohu is the reasoning that we don't want her clothing to fall down. We don't want her shirt to fall down, her dress to fall down, and that's why you just have to bundle it up. No, do it with the Chevel HaMitzri. But if you don't have Chevel HaMitzri, do it with something else. And therefore, if you don't have the Chevel HaMitzri, so then do it with a little belt, and that will do the same thing. Or do we say, no, because we're going to learn in the following Braisa, and we're going to have this later in the Shia today, and then tomorrow, so she made herself all pretty wearing this belt, this tzilzel, to seduce her partner, the adulterer. So therefore, we want to bring something that's going to be menavel her. We're not going to bring her tzilzel, we're going to bring her something that's going to be menavel her, that's going to humiliate her, such as the Chevel HaMitzri. And therefore, it's ma'akev. So it bedavka has to be the Chevel HaMitzri to continue this pattern, which we'll learn in a moment in the next Mishnah. The midah shadu modeh ba lo modeh, the way that she acted, so then midah keneged midah, we're going to punish her in this way. This is one of the overriding principles that we'll learn in a minute. In any event, so according to this, the Chevel HaMitzri would be ma'akev. So Rav Huna says no. The bottom line is it's not Maki because the Mishnah states, Amalei, Tinisua, we learned in the Mishnah, and it says in the following Braisa, V'achakach mevi chevel ha-mitzri v'koshro lo lemala midadea kedei shelo yishamtu bigodea me'aleo. The whole purpose of the Chevel HaMitzri is, granted, we bedavka chose the Chevel HaMitzri to be mida keneged mida, but the real reason is to keep her shirt up. It shouldn't fall down any more than it already has, and therefore, that is the reason, and therefore the Chevel HaMitzri is not Maki. Okay. The Mishnah then is quoted, anybody that wants to come and see this can go and see it. But then it said that the women should go and see it. So one says, Hagufa Kasha. There seems to be an internal contradiction over here. First you say, Amriz, Kolorotze, Liroz, Boro. Anybody that wants to come and see can see. Alma, Loshon Gavri, Loshon Nashi. It doesn't make a difference whether you're man or woman. You're allowed to come and see. But then it says in the Mishnah, Father Tani, Kol HaNashi Mutaris Larosa. The women are allowed to go see. Implication being, the women, yes, but not the men. Noshim in, the women can go and see. Anoshim lo. It's not proper for the men to go see her. So it seems to be a stira in the Mishnah, internally contradictory. Amar Rabbi says, no. Tirgumor Anoshim. When it says that whoever wants to come and see can come and see, so that's only referring to the women. But Rabbi says, that's not true. Amalei Rabbi. It says, "Well, call a road sale, Rosebud," which implies men too. Roek Tani. It says that they're allowed to go and see. So how can you tell me it only refers to the women? So therefore, Rava says you didn't understand the Mishnah correctly, Abai. This is the way to understand it. Elam Rava. Rava says, "Call a road sale, Liros Ba Roek." Anybody that wants to come and see is allowed to go and see. And there, you're right. Men or women, lo shnor gavre v'lo shnor nashi. Any man or woman that wants to come and see can see. However, the nashim chayavos larosa, the women should be dafka come. Shenemar, as the pasuk we had previously, v'nivasru kol anashim, the women should all be warned. V'lo sasena kizimas chano, and they shouldn't act in such a way that will lead them to be esota. Even if they didn't sin, they shouldn't closet themselves away with the men. That's improper. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah, which I just alluded to a minute ago. B'midosh adam modeid ba lo modedin. The way that you act, that will be the way that you get treated. This is one of the overriding principles coming from Pesach. This is exactly why Paro was punished the way he did. The 10 makos were, well, Paro, you did all of these things to Klai Yisrael, now you're going to be punished with all those things. What it says, Vayishma Yisro, when Yisro heard, what did he hear? He saw the midah keneged midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, that the punishment fits the crime perfectly. And therefore, this is an overriding principle in Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's applicable over here by Sota specifically. The midah she'adam modeh, the way that this woman acted is the way that she is now treated. Ba lo modin. That's the way we treat her. For example, he kishta es atzmo liaveira. She adorned herself and dressed herself all up in fancy clothing, fancy jewelry, in order to entice her adulterer. So hamako nivalo. So this too is going to be the way that we treat her. She wanted to dress up fancy, so we'll bedavka do the opposite. We're going to make her unfancy. We're going to degrade her. We're going to humiliate her. He goes to atzmo liaveira. She revealed herself for an aveira. So therefore hamakom gilo ala. So now the Torah is going to reveal her in a way that's not flattering to her. It's not going to be something that she's going to be happy about. So she tried to do this aveira, and therefore she's now going to be revealed in another way. Furthermore, the Mishnah continues and says, "Biyarech hischila biaveira tchila." With her thigh, she started off the aveira first. That's the first part of contact. So the achakachabet, and only afterwards did her stomach get involved in the aveira. So lefikoch tilke hayarech tchila. Therefore, her thigh is is going to be first swollen by the mayim hamarim, v'yachakachadet, and only afterwards will her stomach swell up as well. And likewise, ushar kol guf lo pola, and since the rest of her body also was involved in this aveira, so eventually her entire body will be punished as well. As we'll see, even her nails will come off. So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, "I'm Rav Yosef, afal gav de midah b'teila." Even though nowadays we don't have midas based in of the arba mises based in, nevertheless, b'midah lo batil. But that concept of midah keneged midah is still around. And if a person is mechuyev in one of the arba mises based in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to occur that he dies in a way that would be like the arba mises based in. And we see this, the Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, and likewise, Uchein Tani Ruchia. Ruchia learned this in the following brisa, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from Nebuch, the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Sanhedrin HaGadol no longer gives out Mises Beis Din, Afal Bishabot the Sanhedrin, even though we don't have the Sanhedrin HaGadol, they can give Mises Beis Din, even though we don't have judges of 23, they can give and adjudicate capital cases and give capital punishments. Arba Mises lo batlu. The Arba Mises basin are still there. Where it says, what? Batlu. We don't have the Sanhedrin. We don't have the Sanhedrin in 23, so how can you tell me the Mises basin is still around? So where it says, you're right. The actual Misa of Basin is not around, but the type of death, that is still around. Elo din Arba Mises lo batlu. The way that a person is supposed to get skila, so Basin can't give him skila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him skila, as we see from the rest of this brisa. Mishin is sky of skila. If somebody is so did an avera that is gets skila, they were mechal Shabbos. So you know what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do? Oh, no, Phil Menagag, he's going to fall off a high place, which is actually the way skila was done. So fall off the roof. Oh, chaya darasaso, or a wild animal like a lion will come along and throw him to the ground. So in this way, he's getting the equivalent of misas based in of skila. Likewise, Mishin is chayiv Sreifa. If somebody was getting the Misa of Sreifa from Beis Din, but Nebuch, there's no Beis Din to give it to him, so O Nofel Bidleika, he'll fall in a fire. In other words, he'll get burned in a fire. O Nochash Makisha, he'll get bitten by a snake, and the venomous poison will burn him up, and that's the equivalent of Sreifa. Likewise, Mishin is chayiv Ariga. If somebody is supposed to be killed with the Misa Beis Din of Hereg, they take off his head, oh, Nim Salamachos, he'll either be given over to the local government and they'll chop off his head, they'll put him under the guillotine, oh, Listen, boy, in love, or armed robbers are going to come and they'll decapitate him. So he'll get, again, the Misa of Herig, even though it's not by Basin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange it, that will happen. And finally, Mishin is Chayiv Chanika. If somebody is supposed to be killed by the punishment of Chanika, being choked to death, so then either he'll drown, oh, to Eb in the heart, which is like drowning, like being choked, or he'll die with a misa known as stronchi. Elsewhere, Rashi says that this is askura. Askura is often translated as diphtheria, some translated as some sort of a terrible mouth infection, Ludwig's angina, or what's known as quinsy, and this can be a very, very fatal disease in terms of not allowing the person to breathe. Whatever this disease is, the number of interpretations, what this stronchi is, so that will be the equivalent of misas based of chenek. Next price to Tanya, we learn the following price. So Hoya Rebbe is the gear that we have, but the Mesoros HaShas says it should be Reb Meir. Hoya Reb Meir Omer, Minayin should be Midash Adam Modei Ba, Modei Lo. How do we know that the way that you act, that will be the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back? So this is based upon the pasuk that we have in Yeshaya, which says, Shinemar, Bisasa'a, Bishalcha Tirivena. With a very, very exact accounting, a saw is a measure, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu send you away? So this pasuk tells me if a person did a certain measure of sin, a saw's measure of sin, so he'll be punished with exactly a saw punishment. How do we know minayin l'rabos tarkav? Tarkav is treyu kav, which is two kav, and another kav, which is three kav, which is a half of a saw. So six kav. So tarkav is half of a saw. And how do we know v'chatzi tarkav, a half of a tarkav, which would be one and a half saw. A half of a half. A half of three is one and a half. And how do we know a kav itself? A punishment that's only a kav, or a chatzi kav, or a half of a kav, or a rova of a kav, or the chatzi rova, or a half of a rova, an eighth of a kav, or tomen, which is even a smaller amount, the uchla. Uchla was the amount that we had earlier. A person shouldn't be arrogant, except the Talmud Chacham should have a little bit of arrogance, and uchla's worth, we said 1/64. So it's a very small measure. The tomen and the uchla are even smaller than a chatzi rova, an eighth of a kav. So how do we know in all of these situations that a person deserves a little bit of punishment, he'll get only a little bit of punishment, deserve more punishment, we'll get more punishment, he gets a lot of punishment, we'll get a lot of punishment. If he deserves a lot of punishment, we'll get a lot of punishment. So this is all based upon another pasuk that we have in Yeshaya. Del Siv, it says over there, Talmud Lomar, Kichol Sa'on Soein Birash. Every exact measure will have its appropriate noise associated with it. And similarly, when we actually go pruta, if we consider a sin like a pruta, a very small amount, is the smallest coin. When we actually go pruta, it's the refus, the cheshbon gadol, it will add up, and you'll get exactly the punishment. So each penny adds up, and when you get it to a point where you deserve to be punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the punishment for every single penny, every single sin that you did wrong. Again, Talmud Lomar, we have another pasuk from this one, is from Kohelis, which says, Achas li achas limso cheshbon. Each sin will be added up until you get the ultimate cheshbon, and you'll be punished every sin. Nothing gets by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Brisa continues and says, this is exactly what we find by Sota. And here we have a long Brisa that will continue all the way into the Yom Aleph, and we'll finish the end of the Brisa, but we won't finish fully darshing everything. Shavimida Shemadda, with the way exactly that this woman acted, Ba Madadu Law. That's how she's treated. So, he amda pesach beisa, she stood by the door of a house, lay roslo, so that the adulterer should be able to see her and to entice him. So therefore, lefikach koi mamida shar nikna. So therefore, she is forced to stand by shar nikna, umara klona lekol, and everybody sees her in her disgrace. So she stood there to entice him, and now everybody sees her disgraced. He parcelosu darin noin arosha, she adorned herself with all sorts of fancy kerchiefs on her head, so therefore we remove those fancy kerchiefs. We take off her sheita, we take off her tichel. Levika choy no tel kippa me arosha, uminicho tachas regla, and he throws it off and puts it by her feet. That's a bigger disgrace that people should see, it's not on her head. He kishtalo panea, she made herself all pretty, she put on all sorts of makeup. Levika, we turn to test of an olive. Poneha morikos, her face will become green, it will become ugly. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, Acha poneha morikos, they nail boltos. Her eyes will bulge out, and her face will become green and ugly. He kochalo eneha, her eyes were all sorts of makeup put on them, lefiko chena boltos. That's why her eyes will pop out as well. He kolo lo esara, she made her hair all pretty for him, she braided her hair, lefiko kohen sosu esara. So the kohen undoes her hair, he unravels her hair, and opens up her hair to be seen by everybody. Here, Rasolo Bietzba, she motioned to him, come over here, as Rashi says, Rimzolo Lovo Etzla, she seduced him and said, come over here with her finger. So the Fikoch Tziparnea no shows. Therefore, her fingernails are going to eventually fall off. As we said before, her whole body is destroyed by the Mehamar. Here, Chagrolo Bitzilzul, she put on fancy belts to go and entice him, Lefikoch Koin, maybe Chevel Mitzri. Therefore, we now put on this Chevel Mitzri to go and be menavel her. The kosher l'malami dada, and we keep her shirt up with it as well, because we don't want it to be so revealed, but it reveals her a little bit. He pashalo asirecha, she put out her leg to go and engage in the aveiru with him. Lefika chirecha no fellas. Therefore, her thigh is going to be attacked first, as we pointed out previously. He kibalto al kresa, then he ultimately was on top of her, so lefikoch bit not sofa. So therefore, her stomach is going to swell up as well. He achalto madani olam, she fed him very nice meals to entice him. Lefikoch korban ma'achal behema. Therefore, the korban mincha she brings is made out of barley, which is animal fodder, the opposite of the fancy delicacies that she gave to him to seduce him. So the korban that she brings is an animal fodder, a barley korban. He hishkasu yayin mishubach, she gave him very fancy wines, bekosos mishubachim, in very fancy cups. So therefore, she's going to drink meymarim, bitter waters. Lefika koin mashka mayim hamarim, she's going to drink these bitter waters. Bimikid nishalcharetz, in a very, very unfancy cup, in a plain earthenware cup. And that's keneged, the beautiful coast of wine that she gave him. He also says that she did everything in secret. She didn't want anybody to know what she's doing. Yoshe b'seis ha'oyon somba upon him. So the one who sits upon her, Kodesh Baruch Hu, makes sure that everybody now knows what she did. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us from Eov, Shenemar, the ain noef shomra neshef lemor, the adulterer who's looking at her in the night, says, lemor, lo tishureini, oyin v'gomer. No one's going to see me. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, everybody's going to see you. Finally, Dover Acher, another way to dash this, he also says, so she did it in secret, in quiet. Hamokum Pirsum Obegoli. So now everybody's going to know what she did. Shenemar, the pasuk that we have from Mishlei, Shenemar, Tikase Sina Bimashaon, Tigole Roso Bekol. The person tried to do something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates in the night, in the darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that everybody in the Kahal will see this during the daytime. So that's the Braisa. We have a lot still to darshan about this, but we're already pretty far into the Omen Aleph, so we'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's shiur.